Welcome to the Center for Christian Leadership broadcast. Together, we'll explore the crossroads of leadership and Christian living. I'm Dr. Stephen Smith, your host and fellow journeyer on this path that we're on to pursue a purposeful life. In each episode, we'll embark on a transformational journey that discusses the timeless principles of leadership that are grounded and firmly established in the wisdom of God's Word. So whether you're a seasoned leader seeking inspiration or someone navigating the challenges of everyday life, this broadcast will act as a compass for navigating the intricate dance between leadership excellence and life that models the greatest leader, Jesus Christ. Join me and our guests as we unpack profound insights, share inspiring stories, and embark on a quest to lead with purpose in every aspect of our lives. This is more than a broadcast, it's a community committed to elevating Christian leadership while embracing the transformational power of the principles God has established. So let's dive in together and discover the extraordinary potential that emerges when Christian leadership and Christian living converge.
Hi, welcome back to the show. My name is Stephen Smith, and I believe that I have a word from God for you today, and that word is strategic still. This is the fourth session in this study, and what we want to do today is we want to do what no one else is doing. That's right, that's the fourth step in this. We've already identified and established what our greatest why is. We've identified and eliminated negative thoughts. We've developed a plan to take us there, but now what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're doing what no one else is willing to do. You know, a lot of people don't do things because it's hard, and a lot of people can't do the things that you want to do because no one's willing to take that step. But I know that you are. And so what we want to do is we want to identify, how can we start doing this? How can we start getting better at what it is that we know that we want to do, whether it's changing our life or implementing this strategic plan or fulfilling our greatest purpose or whatever that may be. So what we can do is we can start out with Proverbs 16:3, right? It tells us, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We've been following along with the life of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah has given us a great picture on how we can do each one of these different things. He identified his greatest why, he eliminated negative thoughts, he also developed a plan to get him there, and then once he got there, he started doing things that no one else would do. You know, he didn't act like any of the other leaders, and you probably shouldn't act like other leaders as well. What you should be doing is acting like you. Because you're unique and you have been called to this purpose that you're trying to accomplish. So why not take this and start becoming that person that you know you can be and start doing those things that no one else is willing to do that way. This is Nehemiah 5, 14 and 15. And this is how Nehemiah acted, totally different than everyone else. Look at what he says. For the entire 12 years that I was governor of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of the reign of King Artaxerxes, neither I nor my officials drew our official food allowance. The former governors, in contrast, had laid heavy burdens on the people, demanding a daily ration of food and wine besides 40 pieces of silver. Even their assistants took advantage of the people. But because I feared God, I did not act that way. Because you fear God, how do you act? How are you acting differently than the people before you? Are you taking things that really don't belong to you? Are you trying to just get by? Or are you willing to do the hard things? Are you willing to go out and say, wait a second, this is what I'm doing. I'm leading in this process. God will handle the rest of it for me. So what are you doing differently than what other people who came before you? Are you in a position where you come in and you're the new leader? Are you doing things exactly the way that the old leader failed at doing things? We want to make sure that we're doing things in a good way, in a positive way, and we want to identify what those things are so that we can start doing them differently. Look at what everybody else is doing. That's probably a good gauge of what you shouldn't be doing. What are you willing to do that nobody else can do? And that will take you to that next level. So Nehemiah also wasn't afraid of a little bit of work as well. He didn't exclude himself from the hard work he was asking others to do. He took no land, fed the Jewish officials and any visitors who happened to come by. He was treating them as a host normally would. He wasn't treating them as if he was expecting to be served by them. Nehemiah 5, 16 and 17 says, I also devoted myself to working on the wall and refusing to acquire any land. And I required all my servants to spend time working on the wall. I asked for nothing, even though I regularly fed 150 Jewish officials at my table, besides all the visitors from other lands. Nehemiah was doing what these other people were unwilling to do. He was willing to do all this even without pay. What if they asked you to do something without pay? What if they asked you to work on a project at work that you knew was going to take even more and you weren't going to get paid anything extra for it? So again, I have to ask you, what are you willing to do that's different than everybody else around you? that will set you apart and that will make you that much better. So we also see that Nehemiah didn't get intimidated. You know, he had a bunch of enemies that were trying to keep him from building the wall. And in fact, they sat there regularly and tried to discourage him. He wouldn't let that happen. Look at what he said in Nehemiah 6:11. He said, "But I replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it." So Nehemiah was saying, look, I'm not going to do these things. And even though people were saying, hey, you should run away. Hey, you should be afraid. Hey, you should do all these things. Guess who's telling you all those things? Your enemies. Your enemies are the ones who are trying to keep you from accomplishing that perfect purpose that you know that you're supposed to be doing. So how willing are you to defend what you know God has asked you to do? Are you willing to step and say, no, God told me to do this? Sometimes we're afraid to play the God card, and we're just not sure how that's all going to work out. And we're thinking, well, they're definitely going to help us now because I played the God card. We don't play the God card to our advantage, but to the advantage of what God has called us to do. Once we do that, then I know that the God card is actually going to help me fulfill that perfect purpose that I'm called to. And we can see that when the children of Israel first got to the promised land, you know, this is about 1,000 years before any of these things were going on with Nehemiah. But in Numbers 13:30, we can see what Caleb and Joshua did. It said Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." Guess what Caleb did? He did something that no one else, except for maybe Joshua, was willing to do. Everybody else said, no, don't do it. In fact, they talked about stoning them. When things look difficult, what is your response? Are you still standing by what you know you're supposed to be doing? If you can do that, then you know that you're going to be doing things that nobody else will do. People will buckle to pressure all the time. Lots of people, most people will buckle to pressure all the time. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're applying that pressure. No, I'm just kidding. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we are not buckling every time that we come into a difficult situation. If I come to a difficult situation, if I stand strong with my beliefs, with what I know I'm supposed to be doing, then there's nothing that can stop you. Get a positive attitude about this. Get rid of all those negative attributes. In fact, I think we talked about that the other day. What we want to do then is we want to stand strong and stand firm, just like what Caleb did. And why was that? Well, it's interesting because Moses writes a narrative about what had happened when they were there. And in fact, we see that in Numbers and in throughout Deuteronomy. But Caleb was identified because he just was different. I mean, everybody said that Caleb guy, he's a little bit different. And in fact, God said that about Caleb. He said, "But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land." This is a promise that God gave him because Caleb had a different spirit than others. What's your spirit like? What does your spirit look like? Is it different than everybody else? Is your spirit going to carry you through these difficult times? Can you call on your spirit to be able to get you from point A to point B when things look like it's not going to really come to pass? When it looks like, hey, the difficulties are mounting. Hey, things are difficult. Hey, wow, I've got cancer. I've got all these difficulties. I've got the enemy coming up against me. I've been fired from my job. I mean, all these things that happened in your life, can you set those things aside and say, I'm walking forward because I've got a different spirit than everybody else? The only way that you can be different than anyone else is to act different than anybody else, than to talk different than anybody else, to be identified by God as not being like anyone else, just like what Caleb had. You know, even later on in Caleb's life, he goes into the promised land. He's 84 years old. He goes to Joshua and he says, look, give me the hill country that the Lord's promised. You remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord's with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. You know, the spies went into the land and they found the descendants of Anak, these giants living in great walled villages, exactly where Caleb wanted to go. You know, it's pretty interesting because God talks about these giants in other instances of this, and it says that God drove the giants out of the land when he wanted to bring the inhabitants in. God would have driven these people out. In fact, he used Caleb to do that. He used an 84-year-old to do that. That's just a little bit different than most people are like. Are you like that? What are you going to be like when you get to be 84? Are you going to be crippled? Are you going to be bent over? Are you going to be wanting people to serve you? Or are you going to be going out taking mountains? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we are going to go out and take mountains. What are you ready to take that God has already promised to you? You know, a lot of us will say, hey, I'm just waiting for God to give it to me. Maybe God's waiting for you to take it. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that if I'm supposed to be taking something, I'm going to do that. I'm going to accomplish all these perfect purposes that I know that God wants me to do. So who is it that says that you can't do these things? You know, Caleb had, what, 3 million people telling him that he couldn't do it. Yet he still went on and he did these things. These are the promises that God's given to us. So why not be strong and go out and do these things? Make the changes in your life that are necessary. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we stand out, not only in God's eyes, but in the eyes of everyone else. In Numbers 32:12, we read that the only exceptions to get into the promised land were Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they had wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Wait, it looks like they had a mindset that they were going to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. It looks like they were going to do something that no one else was willing to do. They were willing to lay their lives on the line. They were willing to go forward in the processes that God had promised them that they could. And now what they're doing is they're wholeheartedly following the Lord. If the Lord leads us into a specific place, and if I'm wholeheartedly serving Him, there's nothing that can stop me. You know, you're the same way. So what does wholehearted service look like to you? How do you serve the Lord wholeheartedly? When things get difficult, do you throw in the towel? Do you quit automatically? Do you start saying negative things? Do you think that, wow, this can't be God's will? When things get tough, the wholehearted follow the Lord. That's something I use this verse for. But you can see what I'm saying. We know that we can be successful because I'm wholeheartedly following the Lord in the paths and the processes that He has for me. Psalms 23 tells us that we can do all of those things because He is the Lord who provides for me. I need nothing else. So we used this verse yesterday. This is Jeremiah 15:19, and we can see that we were created to influence people. We were created to do these things, and we were set aside for a specific task. And if I know that I'm set aside for a specific task, and if I'm supposed to be influencing others, I'm not supposed to be influenced by them. Jeremiah 15:19 again tells us this is how the Lord responded. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak these good words rather than worthless ones, you'll be my spokesman. You'll influence others. You'll not be influenced by them. This is exactly what Nehemiah did. This is exactly what Caleb and Joshua did. This is exactly what Peter, James, and John did. That set them apart from the other apostles as well. God wants us to influence others. He wants us to do those things that nobody else is doing because we can only do them through His strength. So start thinking big. Start thinking great. Start thinking grand. Start changing your plans from these weak, little, anemic, little girly plans to something that you can really accomplish, something that's really something that will be a lot of fun for you, something that you'll look back and say, wow, God was really with me when I did that. Look at what we accomplished. So ultimately, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we understand what it is that God's plan is for us. Once I've identified what that is, nothing should be able to stop us. When we're presented with choices that result in ultimately death or something like that, or following God, what are you going to do? I mean, in the book of Acts, we see how the apostles acted. Look at how John and Peter replied when they were faced with the option of stopping and preaching the good news and not using Jesus's name anymore or living. Their response was, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? You know, we can see that we want to listen to and obey God in everything that He tells us, because once we are able to do that, we're going to be doing the things that nobody else can do. You know, when you're able to do that, then you can see that other people can recognize that as well. And in fact, even Gamaliel said, wait a second, these guys have got an attitude here, right? This is Acts 5:38 and 39. Look at what he says. So my advice is leave these men alone. Let them go. If they're planning to do these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it's from God, you'll not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. So if God's told you to do something, and if God's on your side, who can stop you again? Nobody. Not man, not any circumstance, not anything else. God will make sure that you're able to follow through in the processes that He told you to commit to. And if you're committed to them, then you're going to be like that. And nobody is going to be able to stop you. And in fact, they'll be fighting against God, not against you. So what we want to do then is we want to make sure that we're not acting like the world around us. And we've already used this verse once in the study as well, but I really want to go back to Romans 12 too, because it tells us not to copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but to let God transform us into new people by changing the way that we think. Then we'll know what God's will is for us, which is good and pleasing and purpose. So what we want to do then is we want to make sure that we submit ourselves willingly enough to God so that he can transform us into what he knows that we can accomplish. And the only way that I can do things that nobody else is doing, the only way that I can live my life that way, is to allow God to change the way that I think. Once my thinking is transformed, then I can start going out and doing those pleasing and perfect things that God has in store for me. So we know that Jesus told us in Matthew 7, 13, and 14, he told us, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only few will ever find it. Only a few are going to be saved. That's a kind of scary thought, isn't it? What we want to do then is we want to make sure that we're focused on what God wants us to do and that we're part of these smaller group of people doing things that no one else is willing to do. God wants us to push through the difficulties in our life. God wants us to push through these hardships in our lives. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If God is with you, can't you accomplish all things through him? You know, what will define your life here on this earth when you're done? Is it the way that you fought against these things and the way that you stood up for what was right, the little guy, so to speak? Is it the way that you took the gifts and the tools that God gave you and used them for his service? What's going to define your life here? And the only way that we can really make sure that we're defining a life and we're making a difference in everybody's life is to do the things that nobody else is willing to do. So what we want to do then is we want to take four steps in our processes to get ourselves to that next level. This is all based off of Colossians 1:10, which we've been looking at every one of these 4 days so far. Then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So the way that we can do that and the way that we can start doing things that nobody else can do is we need to start getting these ideas in front of us and identifying what they are, but then I can move against them, right? So the first step is going to be, what is the most difficult task that you're faced with today? Why not write that task down and start working on that one right now? Next to that, you want to write down, what did you do the last time that you addressed them? Did you actually do them or did you let them slide? Because a lot of us, what we'll do is we'll see these difficult tasks and we'll say, hey, I'll do those tomorrow. Oh no, I'm gonna save that for just the right time. I gotta make sure I'm in the right state of mind. Your right state of mind is when you begin at the beginning of the day. So start doing things, do all the hard stuff first. The rest of your day is gonna be easy if you do it that way, right? The next thing that we wanna do is we wanna write down what would happen if we were to address them first in our lives. If I were to address this first and get this out of the way, maybe you spend 2 or 3 hours on it, but as you get better at this, these more difficult tasks are going to be easier to accomplish. You're going to fill yourself with better tools as you go along. Every night before you go to sleep, try listing 2 things that you could do in your life different tomorrow. You know, we can go through and we can look back and say, wow, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. Maybe what would happen if I stayed off of social media all day tomorrow? Well, except for these videos, right? What would happen if you were to stay off of social media for a day? What would happen if you were to tell your wife that you love her? What would happen if you loved on your kids for a while or took them out and did something special with them? What would happen if you went out and you were that miracle going someplace to happen? I want to thank you for joining us today. Whether it's on Facebook or YouTube, or if you're watching us online, any one of the social media outlets, I really do encourage you that today we believed that we've gazed through the lens of our Christian faith, discovering a special word from God that's met your special needs. As we reflect on these principles today, let's remember that our ultimate example is Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve others. May his selfless love and sacrificial leadership inspire and guide us in our own leadership journeys. We want to encourage you and make sure that you're subscribing to these videos. Also, don't forget to share them. Hit the notification bell. If you're watching this on any one of the social media outlets, I encourage you, pass this on to others so that they can find inspiration as well through their path towards their servant leadership roles as well. Let's build this community of leaders dedicated to following the footsteps of our servant-hearted Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I wanted to thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Until our next episode, I encourage you to go forth in the spirit of servant leadership, guided by the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessings to you on your journey and in every step that you take.